And near the end of corporate prayer, we were praying, and well, let's back up a few years. It's a joke. I wasn't sure what to speak on tonight, and that's puts a huge pressure on me. It's like, Lord, all week long, what do I speak on? What do I speak on? And anyone that knows me, I'm always like a week ahead of time. Me early is 15 minutes early. You know, that's on time. Late is 5 minutes early. So for me not to have something constructed to deliver for food is very stressful for me. So I was like, So nearly the end of the week, I'm like, okay. It's like I have stuff I put together. I've been faithful on studying and really praying, and this is what I feel to speak on. And come Saturday morning, Saturday night and Sunday morning, it totally took a different direction. I'm like, oh Lord, I hope this is what you have, because I'm not hearing from you right now. And during prayer, getting closer to now, anxiety sets in, a little bit of stress and pressure, and I started getting a headache. I'm like, oh, this is awful. It's like, I'm just going to get up there and talk, and nothing's going to happen, and everyone's going to go home and like, what was he even talking about? And at the end of prayer, I just felt like this warm blanket went over my head, and I literally did this, and then Kim turns and looks at me and she says, I just saw the hand of God go over your head. And I'm like, really? Because it felt like just a warm blanket went over my head, and my headache just went completely away. So I just wanted to praise the Lord in that. And now I'm extremely nervous because it's just the Lord telling me what you have is what I want you to speak. So that even puts the fear of God in me more. So no further to say for myself. Let's turn to the Word of God in Psalms 43 and verse 1. If you could please turn there, please. Psalm 43 and verse 1. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. In verse 3, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble as at its swelling, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord. How he has brought desolation on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bows and shatters the spears. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Psalm 46. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. Your word is true and everlasting. And I pray, Lord, tonight, Lord, that our hearts be opened up to you, to what you have to speak. And Lord, I'd ask, oh God, that each one of us, Lord, just press in to you, Lord, and know that you are our refuge and our strength. Amen. See, we all have days when we just want to give up, don't we? It's like, oh, what a day. You know, we all have days when we'd like to run away from it all and just get away from it all. I know I have. And if you haven't, then this message is just for me. You may leave now. And sometimes it hurts so bad that it throbs inside. It's like, oh, what a day. And our dreams, they fall apart. Our lives become wearisome. Marriages go bad. Health problems develop, financial problems come up, loved ones die. All of this, and we are tempted to give up. We're tempted to give up. But we must never lose hope. Never. We must never give up. I think that was one of Pastor Bailey's famous sayings. Never, but never give up. We must never lose hope. Though problems will still come, right? Problems will come, and difficulties will still touch us through hardship and tough times will arise in our lives over and over and over again. There's still reason to go on. There's still reason to press in to the Lord. And we can press in. And we must press into Him. Not just to hang in there, but to be on top of things. So often I ask people, how are you doing? And they use the phrase, I'm hanging in there. And I picture someone hanging on the side of the cliff with their fingers. They're hanging in there. And I'm like, well, do you need a hand with anything? Because you really should be on top of things. Your feet should be sure. You shouldn't be hanging in there. What can I help with? I've used it before many times. I'm hanging in there. Usually when I'm like, ugh, you know, in one of those moments, it's like, oh, I'm hanging in there. About ready to slip and let go. I'm hanging in there. The Lord wants us to be on top of things. We can go on. And we do not want to give up. I want to read a quote about a certain man. And it says, as a young lawyer, he established a very successful legal practice in Chicago. Despite his financial success, he always maintained a keen interest in Christian activities. He enjoyed a close and active relationship with D.L. Moody and Phillips Bliss and other evangelical leaders of that era. He was described as a man of unusual intelligence. It almost sounds like he's talking about me there for a minute. And refinement. Whoa, we just lost it right there. Deeply spiritual and devoted student to the scriptures. He had a close relationship with God. My computer is telling me I'm supposed to be preaching right now, so apparently we're on track. This passage was written about Horatio Spafford. He was born in New York, North Troy, in October 20th, 1828. And Horatio, he had, as we read, a pretty good life. And he had four daughters and one son. That would be five children. And that's why I send my kids to a private school. And one day, his son died of the flu. And then shortly after that, he lost all of his assets that he had in Chicago in the Great Chicago Fire in 1871. Some of you may have remembered that. And also, shortly after that, he sent his family across the Atlantic to meet up with D.L. Moody in a meeting that he was having. And his four daughters and his wife were aboard a ship, and the ship was collided with another ship. And he lost his four daughters. He got a telegram that said that his wife was the sole survivor of their family. So he got aboard a vessel to be with his wife in this time of grieving. And as he went across the Atlantic, the captain told Horatio, as they passed over the area where the previous vessel had sunk and his four daughters were lost, he penned the words that we sing today and across the world. It is well with my soul. And as I read this, and I read it before, it just really struck out to me. This guy had almost nothing left. And yet, he could say, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. As a father, one of my greatest fears is losing one of my children. As sometimes I wake up in cold sweats with a nightmare that I just had. How can he pen something so beautiful when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, like sea billows roll, like the wave constantly coming in over and over and over. And that is what was happening to his life. Sorrow is just coming in over and over again. He goes on to say, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. I don't personally know the life of Horatio Spafford, but I can tell you the testimony of him by others. And just by reading that very song or that very poem that he wrote that we sing today, you can see that he truly had, as what was said, a close relationship with God. A close relationship with God. I like analyzing things. I like getting down to the nitty-gritty. When I diagnose something, I need absolutes. When I diagnose things on cars. When I don't have an absolute, it drives me crazy. It drives me bonkers. And when I was reading this passage about Horatio, I'm like, wow, there is really no absolute here. The only absolute here is God. Nothing on this earth can cause him to sing or write that song, "It is well with my soul." You have to be mad out of your mind to lose all your children, all your assets, your safety net, your wealth, and write, "It is well with my soul." The only way he was able to do that was his relationship with God. So I prayed and asked, Lord, I don't know him and I don't have much on his life besides this and a few other things. What can aid me to help me in times of trouble to say, it is well with my soul? It is well. And there's three quick points I'd like to bring up tonight. The first one is set our hope in God. The second is our spirit must be led by the Holy Spirit. And the third is to have a holy desperation for the Lord. So the first one, to help us, to aid us, so we too can say, it is well with my soul in times of trouble, setting our heart, setting our hope in God. In Psalm 46 and verse 1, we've read it. God is our refuge and strength, a very help in trouble. Notice the descriptive words in this verse. God is our refuge. It means a shelter, a hiding place, and a strength, our security, boldness, and might. In very present, he is always with us. The word help, this means to aid or assist. He doesn't leave us to our struggles alone. The word in, very interesting. Not before, not after, but in the midst, during. And then trouble. It means tight spots, miseries, distress, sufferings, aggravations, frustrations. Troubles can just keep going on and on. God is our refuge and our strength and a present help in trouble. God is nearer to you than your spouse and closer to you than your friend. And because of this nearness, God or David could speak to his soul and encourage his soul to hope in God, to hope in him. In Psalm 43 and verse 5, we know this passage so well. It says, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you disquieted or tormented within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." See, when we set our eyes, when we set our hope on God, all other troubles, they don't go away. They don't disappear. They don't vanish. Just watching this little guy here play hide and seek earlier. And he stuck his head in his father's shoulder and everything was gone. Everything was gone. No, it wasn't all gone. You just couldn't see it. And when we set our eyes on God, when we set our hope on God, it doesn't disappear. Our priorities get straight. Let Him be the health of our countenance. I can tell you, when we have our hope in other things, in temporary things, things of this world, that will fade away. Some people, they get stressed, they eat. Some people, they find the entertainment and hobbies. And mind you, food is good. If you don't eat it, you'll die. Okay? There's a lot of things out there that can take place of God. And when it takes place of the Lord, that's when our countenance will be seen as if we're not having hope in God. He says, "Who is the health of my countenance and my God?" Another poem or a hymn. "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name." Refrain. It's in there, sorry. "Oh, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." The other ground is speaking of everything else. You see, when people put their hope in other things, they become depressed, upset when those things fail them. And they will fail them. Everything in this earth will pass away. It's a guarantee. It's written in the Word of God. So we need to set our hope on God. And I think that Horatio's hope was on God. The second one, her spirit must be led by the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. We read here that the Word of God is quick and is powerful and is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow. And it is discerning of thoughts and intents of the heart. You see, there is a difference. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:24. There is a difference between the soul and the spirit. And the Lord is looking for those that are allowing the Holy Spirit to lead them. In John, Jesus says, the Lord is looking for those that are worshiping Him in spirit and in truth, not soulish with no proof. Spirit and in truth. Now, our soul is a very important part of us. You know, we have a body, a soul, and a spirit. I find it very interesting, actually, that the Lord created us in His image, and He has the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and yet He gave us a body, soul, and spirit. And throughout, you see like different aspects, of that in the Word of God. I find that very interesting. And when we walk in the Spirit, we are directed by the Spirit. And we want to be directed by the Holy Spirit. But when we walk by our soul, by our emotions, and we get tossed to and fro. I was listening to the radio, and I can't remember exactly the guy that was talking, the situation, but he said he has to bring his wife home, or to the, they lived in Alaska, and during the dark season, he had to bring his wife home for a season because she would go mad without the sun. Without the sun. Right? So, you see that our emotions, our soul is so affected by the rain, by the sun. How many times you wake up, say, "Oh, what a beautiful day, the sun is shining," and you wake up again, "Oh, it's raining now. Oh my goodness, is that snow? In the middle of May?" We need to walk in the Spirit and be directed by the Spirit. Our soul is very important. In fact, it says in Revelation that the souls of those that are martyred are under the seat, under the throne of God. He loves them. But it's very important that in this time we walk according to the Spirit and in the Spirit. Our spirits must be led by the Holy Spirit. Our souls led by our Spirit. Our bodies, let's see, where are they going here? Okay, here. Our bodies, you know, when we allow ourselves to walk by the soul, you know, we have often eating disabilities and depression constantly. And we have mood swings up and down, and hanging in there on top of things, hanging in there on top of things. And this is usually the cause of one that walks soulishly. And Pastor Bailey recounts a time in his life where he was at a camp, and there's this woman in the camp that was the life of the camp, and everyone just went to her for encouragement and just to get the mood on, you know. And shortly after, 3 or 4 months, I think it was, he was in the area where this woman lived, and he went to go visit her, and she was down in the dumps. I think the words was he didn't even recognize her or something like that. Because she was a soulish woman. I think he referred to it as a camp Christian. A camp Christian. Camp is awesome. But we can't live by our camp experiences or by our single God moments. But to set our hope on Him and allow the Spirit to lead us. Now, when you're led by the Spirit, you don't have any trouble that comes your way. No heartache, nothing like that. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 11:24-29, Paul says how wonderful it is when you're led by the Holy Spirit. He says, for the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with a rod. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journey often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of Gentiles, in the perils of the city, in the perils of the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in wilderness, in toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes unto me to daily. Besides just that, the stuff that happens to me daily too, he says. So you can see that being led by the Spirit, it's a wonderful, filled life. Some of you aren't getting, you know, just don't understand. No, it's no different. In fact, I think there's a target painted on your back. No, but being led by the Spirit. Your eyes aren't on those shipwrecks and those scourgings and those beatings. They're on the Lord. You're being directed by Him. We need to walk in the Spirit and not be tossed to and fro. Imagine Horatio, one that did not walk in the Spirit. Imagine. Lost his son, then everything else, all his investments and his 4 daughters. Nowadays, something like that happens, that person may have some very serious issues. And I know on my side of the family, on my mom's side of the family, there's a huge rate of suicide. No hope. No hope. And we want to be those that walk according to the Spirit and set our hope on the Lord. The third point to help us, to aid us, so we too can say, it is well with my soul. To have a holy desperation for Him. a holy desperation for him. In Mark 5 and 24 through 28, we read about the woman with the blood issue. And it says, so Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. They were pressed closely up to him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 20 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. See here how it says that she suffered many things from many physicians? She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. And she said, if I only may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. You see, she had no hope. She, in fact, by going to other physicians, she created more suffering for herself. And yet, after spending everything she had that she can possibly do and totally wiped out every ounce of money she had, she spent it all. It was just worse. But when she heard about Jesus, things started to change. She had this desperation in her. It's like, Jesus, he's the one. And there's something about being desperate. There's something about being desperate that changes somebody. Desperation will turn you into a different person. Think of a drowning man. Think of a drowning man. The only thing that he wants is what? Air. Air. That's the only thing that he's concerned about receiving, is not drowning, is air, to keep air in his lungs. He's not worried about problems at work, the car bills that are stacking up, the electric bill that may go overdue because he's drowning right now. No. No, he is doing everything he can, flipping his arm, kicking his feet to keep his head above the water so he can maintain breathing. Desperation will turn somebody into a different person. And this woman with this issue of blood, she was desperate to touch the hem of Jesus. Because she said, if I can only touch his clothes, I shall be made well. She had one desire. She had one thought. To get whole. And the only one hope was Jesus. It was Jesus. And it was being sold out that Jesus was the only way. That he was the only one that could make her well. And the interesting thing, it didn't cost her a dime. She tried everything else. And we must come to the understanding of this same truth that's found in John, where it says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The way, the no other way on earth. There's no other way. He's the truth. There's no other belief or method to live by. The life, the hope of salvation, the glorious eternal life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So these three points, setting our hope on God, and that our spirits must be led by the Holy Spirit, and having a holy desperation. I believe these three points will help myself, and I hope you as well, to aid us in going on, not giving up, but not just hanging in there with our fingers, but being where God wants us to be, more than conquerors. More than conquerors in this world, in this life. Horatio Safford, he said, "It is well with my soul." Is it well with your soul tonight? Let's pray.